It is my prayer that as we share this morning, wherever you are, wherever you are located, whatever you're doing, we ask you to pause long enough to hear God's revelation. The word of Almighty God contains the mind of God and the heart of God. And I believe that this country at this time needs to hear always the word of Almighty God. So I want you to turn with me to the text that was read earlier from Acts chapter 10. And I want you to keep your Bibles open right there, because this particular text speaks to us in profound ways on this Resurrection Sunday morning. And so from this text that was read earlier, I want to share with you around the theme, the Church of the Resurrection, advancing the mission of Jesus. The Church of the Resurrection, advancing the mission of Jesus. Let us pray. Resurrected Lord, we come to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your church scattered in different places, but your church gathered faithfully around your word, seeking to worship and seeking to live lives of obedience. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will allow your word to come alive in our hearing. And may every heart and every tongue confess that you are the risen Lord. And may every knee bow in true worship to you. So exalt your name through the proclamation of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And believers everywhere say amen. The Church of the Resurrection, advancing the mission of Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, if I were given the opportunity to name a newly formed congregation, I would call it the Church of the Resurrection. My inspiration comes from the book of Acts, because the early church grounded its mission, its message, and its ministry in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church's credibility, I may dare say, rests on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection gives the church confidence and gives the church hope to proclaim its truths in an age of skepticism and in an age of growing hopelessness. Brothers and sisters, the book of Acts allows us to view the death and resurrection through the eyes of an active church, a church that was out there in the mission field declaring the truths of God's name. And I want to declare that as I read the book of Acts, it is very clear to me that the resurrection of Jesus is the irreplaceable kernel of the church's mission. That if you remove the resurrection of Jesus, then the church's preaching becomes vain and the Bible becomes a book for losers. Without the resurrection, the church would have no power. The church would have no talk. Preaching would be in vain. So right where you are this morning, I want you to shout a praise and give God thanks for the power of the resurrection. Praise God that you are a part of the church of the resurrection. So in keeping this spirit of the resurrection in mind, go with me to Acts 10, where we encounter an amazing scenery, where the passage in Acts 10 highlights what can happen in the lives of people when the gospel of the risen Christ is preached, is received, is believed, and is acted upon. This Acts 10 story comes at a point when the church was in expanding mode. The church was seeking to move itself with God's prompting beyond its narrow ethnic, religious, and racial boundaries. The church was pressing against traditions that seek to hold back its progress. And so if you follow the actions and the utterances of the Apostle Peter in this text, if you follow the actions and utterances of the Gentile centurion by the name of Cornelius from Philippi, and if you tune in to the move of the Spirit in this narrative, then you yourself will be set up for mind change and a set up for a different direction in your mission endeavors and in your witnessing activities. In Acts 10, Peter's attitude towards the Gentiles highlighted the cardinal mistake that the church was committing. And so if we want to be the church of the resurrection that seeks to advance the mission of Jesus, there are some decisions that we need to make as a church if we are going to advance the mission of the resurrected Lord. Some of these decisions can be tough decisions, but I tell you that whenever the church makes these kinds of decisions, the impact is great and the move of the Spirit is unstoppable. So this morning, I call upon the church of the resurrection to make, first of all, a decision to correct its mission mistakes. I call upon the church to correct its mission mistakes. The mission mistake highlighted in Acts chapter 10 is skillfully captured in the detailed description of two encounters in two different places, with two different men from two different ethnic and religious groups. So we first meet Cornelius. It is Cornelius who first got a vision from heaven. In this vision, the Lord, the good Lord, acknowledged his generosity and affirmed his sincere acts of worship. And you can find that in verse 2 of chapter 10. The Lord told Cornelius, as he affirmed him and as he celebrated him, the Lord said to Cornelius, I want you to send for Peter because there is more for you to experience. The Lord was setting up Cornelius for a miracle of a lifetime. Because God knows that when we are good and when we are faithful, our goodness and our faithfulness are not enough if we have not come in contact with the resurrected Lord, who can take us beyond being good religious citizens into becoming anointed, spirit-filled disciples of Jesus Christ. So Cornelius received the first vision. The next day, the Lord visited Peter in a vision. And Peter was staying in Joppa at the house of Simon the Tanner. And the Lord spoke to him in a vision. Now the vision that the Lord gave to Peter disrupted him greatly. It troubled his sensibilities and all his cultural hang-ups were being challenged by this vision. In fact, at the end of receiving that vision, Peter developed a deeper spiritual insight about what God is up to and about how he should conduct God's mission going forward. So one vision was for commendation and the raising of expectation, but the other vision was for correction and a call to repentance. It is interesting that it is not Cornelius who was corrected. It is not Cornelius who was called to repentance. It was the big man, Apostle Peter, that God was challenging him, that he was making a cardinal error in how he carried out his mission. Let me tell you, church, when we carry out the mission of God, we don't carry it out in our name and based on our mandate and our idiosyncrasies. We carry out the mission of God based on the heart of God, the dictates of God, and the promptings of the Spirit of God. So pull up yourself, Peter, because God is speaking to you and God is saying, correct your mission mistake. If you're going to go forward. Cornelius, in response to the vision he received, he sent for Peter. And Peter, in response to this compelling vision, followed the instructions of the Lord, responded to the invitation of Cornelius, visited Cornelius's house, crossing many barriers, and there he proclaimed the good news of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We can learn much from this narrative. And I want to declare to all of God's people everywhere that religious communities are famous for erecting barriers where there should be bridges. I want to declare to the community of faith that the resurrected Lord can break through barriers that seek to prevent the spread of the gospel. I want to declare that if the tomb could not hold him, then our traditions that we set up to exclude people cannot hold the resurrected Lord. If we are not careful as a church, we preach the gospel of the resurrected Christ and declare that it is a gospel for all. But then in our practice and our living out of the gospel, in the operation of our missions, we limit the gospel to reaching only some, a preferred few, a selected few. In this text, Cornelius and his household were not a part of the selected few. That as far as Peter was concerned, Cornelius was not on his agenda to hear the message of the risen Lord. In fact, the Jews have a way of believing that salvation had their name tags on it and their personal addresses, and all others were excluded. So a man like Cornelius, respectable man, good man, generous man, man who read in Bible and pray, a man who seek the face of God, them say, no, you're not ready. We want to correct that in the name of Jesus. As a church, there are some people that we are looking on and we are saying to them, no, you're not ready. But God is saying, my name is on them, my call is on them, and I'm calling them to deeper salvation. Peter was bitten by a racial and ethnic bug, and the Spirit had to drill him when the Spirit showed him the vision and said, Peter, get up and kill and eat. Peter, the great Peter, looked at the Lord and said to him, surely not, Lord. You know, there are some of us who, when God has shown me where to go and what to do and who to embrace, we have the audacity to be looking at the resurrected Lord and saying, surely not, Lord. We cannot say he's Lord of our lives and then in turn say to him, surely not, Lord. I want to challenge believers not to perpetuate Peter's mistake. The church's mistake was to believe that the gospel had limited scope and could not cross racial and ethnic divide. We as a church cannot make those mistakes. When we rise and declare that Jesus is risen, as a church we are saying that there is no group that exists in our country that is not worthy of the gospel. As a church, we are not looking at God when God is calling us to go into places and have serious conversations. We do not look at God and say, surely not, Lord. But do you hear yourself at times saying it? that, Lord, the place is too dangerous. Surely not, Lord. Lord, the kinds of people that live down there, Lord, they're going to reject the gospel. So surely not, Lord. Lord, those people, they have a lifestyle that would disrupt the smooth flow of the church. They don't dress well. They don't practice certain things that we practice. So surely not, Lord. Can I call the church to come out of its surely not zone and to get into a zone that says, yes, Lord, if you send me, I'll go. If you call me, I will say yes. The Lord wants to correct our mission mistakes. And the risen Lord is calling us to follow him. When we go where the resurrected Lord goes, we will break down doors and we will venture into unfamiliar places. We will get to see what others are not seeing. We will have conversations with abusers of women. We will be able, in the power of the Spirit, to stop them in their tracks of self-hate, revenge, and mental disorder. When we go where the risen Lord is going, we will become gospel messengers, bringing the news, the good news of peace, to homes that are plagued by domestic violence. When we follow where God is leading, we are saying we are going as peacemakers with the gospel of peace in our hands. So here, as I seek to move on, so here Cornelius. Cornelius, when he confronted Peter, Cornelius said to Peter, I sent for thee, and thou hast done well to come. Now, therefore, we are here, present before God, to hear all the things that God has commanded you. I want to declare to the church that there is a Cornelius and his household who are waiting for the church to come, waiting for the church to engage them, waiting for the church to be converted so that they can be converted. You know, let me tell you about the conversion of Peter. When Peter saw Cornelius and stood in front of him, the first words that Peter uttered, he says, I now know I have come into a deeper insight that my God is not a God of favoritism. My God cannot be put into a racial box. My God is a God who embraces all of humanity and all of creation. Peter was converted. I want to say to the church that before the message of the gospel can reach to some people, the messengers of the gospel have to experience conversion. Some of us, we our mind too narrow and limited, and we have to ask God, change me now, God. Lord, change my mindset. It's not new clothes I want. It's not new shoes. It's not new tools I want. It's a new mindset that declares that there are sheep of my fold that God wants to bring in. Oh, can you, wherever you are, put your hand on your head and say, change my mind, God. There are some people that are blocked. I unblock them now in the name of Jesus. There are some people that I refuse to speak with. But as I seek to correct my mission mistake, lead me, resurrected Lord, lead me. Clap your hands for the Lord. Clap your hands for the Lord. So the first decision is that we must correct our mission mistakes if we want to be the church of the resurrection, advancing the kingdom of God. But the second decision that the church of the resurrection must make if we are to advance the Jesus mission is that the church of the resurrection must commit to proclaiming the undiluted gospel message. The church of the resurrection must commit to proclaiming the undiluted gospel message. Can I just pause long enough to tell 65 and all the others who are participating in this worship service, wherever you are, can I tell you that the gospel message is not a complicated message that sets out to confuse people. No attempt should be made, therefore, to dress up the gospel, to try to fix up the gospel, to make it more palatable, to make it demand less than it requires, and make it promise more than it actually can give. The church of the resurrection must faithfully proclaim the undiluted gospel, proclaiming it with clarity, with consistency, and with deep sincerity. And this is exactly what Peter did after his conversion, after his amazing confession that he now knows that God not partial. It is after that that the message starts spew out from his mouth. And so the sermon that he preached at Cornelius' house from verse 36 of the text to verse 43, that sermon can become a model for us as we seek to frame, to deliver the message of Almighty God. So what was this message? If you read this text, Peter declared that Jesus Christ was anointed by God. He declared that God was with him. He further declared in this one sermon that Jesus is Lord of all. He said that Jesus went about doing good. He said that Jesus was healing and freeing those who were in bondage, who were under the devil's spell. He further declared in his gospel summary that Jesus did good works, but he was killed in a most violent way by hanging him on a cross. But God, he said, come on, church. But God raised him from the dead on the third day. This is a part of the gospel. The gospel is a gospel of the cross, a Good Friday gospel, but it is also a resurrection gospel. It is a gospel of the empty tomb. They killed him, but they couldn't stop him. They held him back, but they couldn't hold him down. I want to say to the church, the gospel needs no additives. The gospel needs no help. It needs no drama. It needs no entertainment. We simply declare that Jesus, anointed servant of God, Lord of all, God anointed him. He was crucified. God raised him from the dead. And he now sits as judge over all creation. And he's the hope of glory. And he's at the very heart of the Christian message. Give him praise, somebody. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then it's sweet Peter, because Peter said, some of us saw him when he was raised from the dead. We had meal with him. I could hear some of the other disciples said that when we walked with him on the Emmaus Road, didn't our hearts warm within us? I want to declare that as we share the gospel of Jesus, we must be faithful in proclaiming it. We must declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, crucified, and was raised from the dead. And so there are some insights that rest on me from this particular point I'm making. And the first is that the message of salvation must be consistently and lovingly declared to anyone who is seeking truth, seeking love, and seeking forgiveness. We must also declare that when we declare the gospel of the resurrected Lord, it is the resurrected Lord that must be at the heart of the message and not the reputed messenger. Because if we are not careful, as a Christian community, we allow the messenger to take premium and a place of priority over the message. Let me tell you, some of us need to just lower ourselves. We need to just step down from our places of elevation and say, Lord, you be lifted higher. Can I ask some members who believe that their spirituality is deeper than anyone else? Can I ask some deacons, some church mothers and fathers, some of us as pastors and leaders, take time and back way. Take time and come down. And as you come down, say, increase, Jesus, increase. The message is about you and not about us. We are flawed. We are weak. We make errors. We don't understand the message. So we lift you higher in the name of Jesus. Give him praise, somebody. Can I declare that the resurrection message is not a sideshow? The resurrection message is the show. The resurrection message is really right there what it should be. And so in the name of Jesus, we say away with the sideshows. Away with anything that seeks to distract from the message of truth that says Jesus is Lord. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was raised from the dead. And God has now elevated him to be judge of the world. And so I declare to the church that you see this message, the content of the resurrected Lord's message, the content of the gospel message, contains within it the marching orders of the church. That it is when we understand Jesus and the message of Jesus that the church can begin to frame and understand our own objectives and our own mission. Can I tell you, Pastor Sam, we don't have no mission of our own. Our mission is a borrowed mission. We are minor partners in God's mission in the world. And so the message is not one that we craft out and create by ourselves. It is the message that's already there. And so the gospel message must not be mixed and blended with the conspiracy theories and the philosophies of this world. It is when we share a video with all kind of conspiracy theories that is not furthering the gospel. If you want to share something on your WhatsApp and on your Facebook and your YouTube, tell people that Jesus is alive. Tell people that Jesus died for their sins. Do not borrow all the theories surrounding vaccines and other things. The gospel has resisted and withstood all of these things over time. And when all is said and done, when COVID-19 gone, you know what will remain? The undiluted truths of the word of God. Times will change, seasons will change, secular philosophies will rise, but the word of God stands forever as the rock. And if the church stands on the word, then when the winds begin to blow, none can blow it down. When the storms of life are raging, we stand on the solid rock. Can I hear the church a rock? Can I hear the church a rock? Wherever you are, so we now move because we're standing on the rock. COVID-19 can't make we backslide because the message that we embrace is a powerful message. Can I just hear somebody say to somebody in your house, we have the message. It is the resurrection message. It is a message that the world cannot resist. And so going forward, I urge us to declare the message of Jesus. We are messengers declaring the undiluted message in a world of skepticism, in a world that is seeking a church not to be distracted, but to remain focused. We do not share any new truth. We declare all that the prophets have testified. We preach it and we live by it, to the glory of God. I want you to journey with me to the final decision that I invite us to make. And that final decision is that the resurrection church, the church of the resurrection, must make, if we are going to advance the mission. You know what this is? And I won't spend much time on it, because it's not our work, it's the Spirit work. The church must celebrate when the Spirit moves. The church must celebrate. Now, let me tell you. The Spirit of the Lord, moved among the people of the resurrection church, no matter where those people are gathered. The people gathered or scattered, the Spirit does not need a particular place or time for the Spirit to move. The Spirit moves in whatever atmosphere, in whatever setting. Hear what the text says, that while Peter was declaring the message, while Peter was up there sweating like I am, the Spirit of God decided to disrupt what was happening, and the Lord decided to do what he needed to do in that moment. Let me tell the church, it was not on the order of service. It was not planned, But when spirit move, the church have to just back off. In fact, one of the things that the church over time has constantly been trying to do is to keep in step of the spirit. Do you know that sometimes as a Pentecostal church, the spirit leave, we gone long time. The spirit is advancing and we are in a relentless drive to catch up. While Peter was preaching, spirit start knocking down people all over Cornelius' house. And they received the baptism of the spirit. In the church of the resurrection, we must prepare, we must plan, we must pray. But let me tell you, when we gather and when we proclaim, we have to take our hand off the steering wheel and say, spirit, do what you want to do. When we do street ministry, when we go home to home, when we go to schools, we are saying, Lord, we will prepare and we will proclaim. But you, Lord, do the bigger work. The work of conversion. So I want the church, I want the resurrection church to say, move spirit, move. Move spirit, move. Because in this church, when the spirit stop, move and leave Peter. Peter stop the sermon. And Peter said, all those who have received the spirit, baptize them now. Because it's an act of confirmation and an act of celebration that barriers tear down. The church of the resurrection is on the move again and nothing can stop it. Can I say to 65 that in the midst of your prayer meetings, in the midst of your preaching, always anticipate that in the church of the resurrection, the spirit will move and break through. Wherever you are, declare again. Move, spirit, move. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the richness and the relevance of your word. We repent from our mistakes. And Lord, we commit to declaring the undiluted gospel message. And whenever your spirit moves, converting people, baptizing people, as a resurrection church, we will confirm it and we will celebrate it so that the mission can go on. In Jesus' name.